We give you glory, we give you glory, we give you honor for opportunity to be in your presence. Take all the glory for all the blessings that we will have to share today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at the scripture and one of the benefits from the cross on Calvary. Grant us understanding, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Take this song. There is power. Say it. Power.
Wonder walking.
Let me hear you sing it very loud.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Say it if you believe it.
There is power.
And may we experience that power today in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. I'm looking at an exhortation topic that I titled The God That Answers by Fire. The God That Answers by Fire. That God is the God of Israel. Why I say there is power in the blood. Why I say there is power in the blood. Listen carefully and you will know why I title it The God That Answers by Fire. Because by the end of this exhortation, you will see that part of the power that flow through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is fire. Is fire. See, the power of the blood includes what is said in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 12. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 12. It says, therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul, verse 11. And he said, this is what he said. For the life, this is where, yeah, this is the scripture I'm looking for. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That is why they were forbidden from eating the blood of that animal. And it's talking about the sacrificial lamb. You commit any sin, the ordinance is get the lamb. On the day of atonement, bring it to the high priest. The sin is confessed upon that animal. And the sin is placed upon him and he is slaughtered. The blood is sprinkled, and when that is done, the sinner that brought that lamb and confessed his sin, the sins of that sinner are atoned. The sacrificial lamb. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, when your sins are atoned, then you are reconciled back to God. Sin separates us from God, but he made provision for atonement so that we can be reconciled again to him. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 and verse 20, he said, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. This is the reason, verse 20. He said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, peace between man and God, through the blood. See the power in the blood? Through the blood of his cross, by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Reconciliation comes through the blood. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. We have to rush this. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes we are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus. We are reconciled through that blood. And that is why Jesus said in verse 27 of Matthew 26 verse 27, he made that statement when he took the cup. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying what? The next verse. What was he saying? He said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. For what? For atonement. For the remission of your sins. Remission of sins. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22. It said, but the scripture had concluded all human beings under sin. The reason is this. So that the promise by faith, emphasis, promise. Somebody shall promise. Shall promise. There was a promise that is made. But that promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Which promise is the promise in Genesis chapter 22 verse 18. The promise that he gave Abraham. Please catch where I am going. Verse 18. He told Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That is the promise. That is the promise. That promise, you receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 is referring to that promise. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, one seed, which is who? He is the promised seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, what did he say? Galatians chapter 3, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For what purpose? That the blessing of Abraham, that promise, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. And anytime you say Abraham's blessings are mine, Pentecostals are looking at prosperity. So you now understand what is Abraham's promise. Abraham's blessings is verse 18 of Genesis 22, as we have read. The seed that was promised him, and in that seed, the whole families of the earth shall be blessed. Are you not blessed as you receive Christ? The blessing that he blessed, the promise that he promised Abraham was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how did we benefit from it? He was slain. His blood was offered so that we all can be part of that blood covenant. But the problem is, are you under that blood covenant? During one of our consecration, the pastor that preached, he talked about, I think it's Pastor Gabriel, about insurance cover. Destruction is coming upon this earth, but there is an insurance cover. And this insurance cover is blessed assurance. Are you covered? Are you insured? For when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When we talk about the blessings of Abraham, who this Jesus is, when you come under that covenant, not too many people understand what it means. What the Lord did on the cross on Calvary. Not too many Christians. How do I know? We live together. We act. We live together. We eat together. We fellowship together. We relate. It's very easy to know a Christian that has not understood the cross on Calvary. It's very easy to know those who have understood what happened on the cross on Calvary. It's not the multitude. It's not the position you occupy in the church. It's not even the anointing, the gift you have. It is a knowledge that differentiated tiny David before King Saul and all the generals in the army of Israel when the Philistines came to challenge them by the greatest power they had. General. What's his name again? Goliath. Apart from his size, look at the weapon he put on. Everybody will be scared. But they that know their God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So it was there 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Lack of knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. He said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, are? Hallelujah. Who do you know Jesus to be? Peter said, amen. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. What did he give him for? John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And you are a Christian, and then Satan every time keep reminding you of your sins that you had in the past. That is why your condition is still like this. That is why your condition is still like this. Even you meet so-called men of God, prophets, who will tell you, you don't have children. It's because of a covenant that you had somewhere. And then begin to bring funny solution. You know, you did blood covenant that is working against you. So if you want deliverance, bring a live goat. The man want chop goat. You can't use it and they deceive you. Amen. And then a Christian will go and bring a live animal for solution to your problem. And you claim to be a Christian. And you even baptize. What did you understand before you went for water baptism? What is the meaning of water baptism? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you have that knowledge, Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. And the gate of hell cannot prevail. Hallelujah. We as Christians, the gates of hell cannot prevail. He didn't say they will not come. Brethren, they will come. All that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. The enemy is still alive. He never gives up. The instrument he's using may be destroyed, but he will look for more instruments, other instruments. He will continue until the day he's annihilated completely from existence. But until then, we are in a battlefield. I spoke yesterday evening during our consecration hour. I said, hallelujah, before you, before Israel, listen very well. Israel, they received deliverance from Egypt. Deliverance from Egypt does not mean that you will not face other battles in front. The first obstacle they saw, hallelujah, that really, really brought the real deliverance, they passed through the Red Sea. Why is that sea called red? Hallelujah. It's symbolic of the red blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory be to God. When you pass through that Red Sea, through water baptism, it's you passing through the Red Sea. Oh, glory be to God. Whatever is accusing you of, he cannot walk again. With that same blood, with that same Red Sea, they attempted to finish Egypt, to go after those they have escaped. through that same Red Sea, they were destroyed. That same blood, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because that blood is still speaking. It's still speaking. It's still speaking. If you don't know, we are in a battle. Church, never you relax. That is what Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Don't because you have just overcome one temptation, receive deliverance, then you relax. After the temptation of Jesus, I like the statement they made. Satan decided to leave Jesus for a while. He didn't say he left him completely. Every deliverance is for a while. He is going to plan another one to come. Did he leave Jesus alone? Did he leave the disciples alone? He is not leaving us alone too. Hallelujah. But this is the assurance that we have, so that you'll understand some scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 refers to Jesus Christ as the captain of our salvation. Am I correct? Hallelujah. He is the captain of our salvation. Do you know what the captain of our salvation is? You will understand in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. Listen very well. That is why I am saying here that after they left the Red Sea, they still had River Jordan to cross before they will enter the promised land. Hallelujah. The same God that was with Moses was with Joshua. What is the evidence? As he parted the Red Sea, he also parted River Jordan. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. But that is to enable you claim God's promise for you. The first city to conquer was the city of Jericho. Now, that is not water. The battle to part water is different from the battle to face enemy that have weapon like you. In fact, in the case of themselves, they didn't even have weapon. Because they were traveling in the wilderness. God was their weapon. Oh, praise the Lord. The weapon of our warfare, they are not machine gun. They are not knife, sword. They are spiritual. Why? They are mighty through God. And now they are going to face that battle. Joshua will have been wondering, how are we going to face this battle? How? How are we going to go through this? Amen. Amos said something. Amos said, I think it's Amos chapter 5 or so, verse 4. I think that is the scripture. Where he says, seek ye. For thus said the Lord unto the house of Israel. What did he say? Seek ye me and ye shall live. Because without me you can do nothing. Seek you me and you will live. Without him, God, church, we can do nothing. The day you catch this revelation, prayer will become part of you. You must develop it. Pray without ceasing. Every moment of the day, every action, he said, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your pathway. When the Bible in Hebrew referred to Jesus as the captain of our salvation, then it's using military terminology. Joshua, let's read it. Chapter 5, verse 13. It says, they were just as they were about to conquer the first city of the promised land. And it came to pass, hallelujah, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eye and looked, and behold, there stood a man. Hey, Jesus. It was a man he saw. A man. Somebody say a man. Say it again, a man. He saw a man. That is, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our enemies, our adversaries? Hallelujah. What did he say? And he said, No. Who am I? But as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I not come? And Joshua knew this is not an ordinary man. This is not even an ordinary angel, because the Jews don't worship angels. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Listen. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Do you know why? Joshua needed to come and receive instruction for the battle, but you must come in a humble estate. Somebody here, that is why he gave us the gift of the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Is the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And every Christian, you are enlisted into a battle. For we wrestle not against against flesh and blood. The battle that we are in is against principalities and powers. Forget all these motivational speakers that speak motivational things that land Christians into trouble when they have problem. They will think that God is not with them because they have problem. It's a big error. It is Christians that suffer the most. Who told you a soldier in a battlefield lives in an air-conditioned house? They only come and rest and they are decorated. They are not even decorated during battle. They are decorated after the battle. You are not qualified to be promoted until the battle is over. They sleep in trenches. Part of their clothes now leave. Rain fall, they are there. What is happening? They are on a mission to conquer. And we are more than conquerors. Through who? Through the captain of our salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that comes through the power in the blood. The power in the blood is the power also that enlists us into that army. It's the power that makes us sons of God. Hallelujah. God does not borrow army. He uses his own to fight his own battle. As many, he came to his own receiving not, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. To do what? To become the sons of God. That power is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Romans chapter 8, we read it from verse 14 to 17, he said, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are also sons of God, and we are also as victorious as Christ is. All power is given to him. He too gave us power. Now my topic is the God that answers by fire. You can see, hallelujah, that the captain of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, John said, Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and what? He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and what? Shout that fire. Shout that fire. Because this same Jesus is the same God of Elijah. He's the same God that met Joshua. He's the same God, hallelujah, that Elijah boasted of. He boasted of it. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's read it. Verse 23. Remember that Israel had left the God, their God, like Christians have left their God and they are now pursuing mammon. If you want your church to be full with crowd, they are not looking for anointing. They are looking for how to make money. Begin to boast that God has made you money doubler. Boast that your ministry is for prosperity. Boast. You will see how that church will fool, because everybody wants to make money. But when you talk about what Jesus said, if you will follow me, pick up the cross. They don't want that type of gospel. The gospel they want is, I wish above all things that ye may prosper. That is what we want. And the principles for prosperity is in the Bible. You get a good motivational speaker, he will sweep you off. And people are so gullible, they have forgotten that all the teaching of prosperity, all, is the preacher that becomes rich after. If you observe, it is the preacher. Because the truth is this. Amen. Hallelujah. The richest man in those churches are always the pastor. Tell me who is richer than David Oyedepo in Winners Chapel. Hey, stop calling name. How will you know what I'm talking about? Is it an insult to say somebody is rich? Is it not a commentary? It's good now. Don't you want to be rich? I want to be rich. But not through sweet mouth and collecting the offerings of the people. The full America. Full America. Crayford Dollar, T.T. Jakes. What do you call them? All of them. All of them. And the boast of the wealth they have. And none of them is doing any business. It is offering and tithe. But when we talk about the cross, nobody wants to hear that. That was the estate of Israel. When God raised, Elijah was so angry at the condition. It was a lone man like Micaiah in the days of Ahab. Hallelujah. And a time came that he had to challenge the king and all Israelites. Let's read part of it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 23 and 24. This was what he said. He said, gather all your people. Hallelujah. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Amen. And let them choose 1 bullock for themselves. That is, he told Ahab, gather 850 of your prophets. 450, the ones that serve in the groove, and the ones that are always collecting that are offering from the king. 400 of them. 400. Total. 850. Bring them together. Let them bring their own Jesus. People don't know that there is another Jesus. Bring your own. Israel, God told us, anytime we want to approach him, we should bring an offering of an animal. You too, you have been preaching that you are prospering because you too, you are calling blood, blood, blood. But there is the original blood and there is the fake blood. Hallelujah. He said, oh yeah, bring that your sacrifice. Bring that your bullock. Let's read on. Give us 2 bullocks and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood. And put no fire under. Don't put fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood. and put no fire also on it. Don't put any fire under. 850 of you that speak in tongues. I am reading. Hallelujah. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, we agree. It is well spoken. Verse 25. That's verse 24. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you see, amen. A time has to come, and I believe it, that there will be another Mount Carmel showdown. I believe it. This God that we are serving, study and know him. He is never defeated in any battle. When it seems as if he is late in coming, he is not late. He is not late. If you don't know how to identify God, you will just think that God is around because there is a fire, there is a wind, there is an earthquake, there is this. Elijah knew how to identify God. And our God, the Christian faith, is an evidential faith. It is an evidential faith. I was just telling the media department, I said, these days, when people are giving testimonies now, the unbelievers, they don't believe it because of all the nonsense that is going on in the Christian faith. They don't believe it. They'll think that you have arranged it to advertise your ministry. You see how the damage they are doing? All of a sudden, in the recent years, from nowhere, prophets everywhere. Prophet, prophet, prophet. The major one and the minor one. All of a sudden, sons of the prophet. All of a sudden, the prophetic ministry was elevated. And crowd were going on. Crowd. And those of us who say we are holding on to the word, we could not understand. See these people. See the nonsense they are doing. Crowd. And it looks as if God is defeated. God allowed them to finish whatever they are doing until he began to open their nyash one after the other. Until they had been exposed. Right now, the prophetic ministry is losing the value. Right now, if you go and say, you put signboard, prophets. Who will I use now? Prophet Uche Jisigmo. All sicknesses go physically and herbally. And you think people will come. Everybody passed himself until the estate of Israel was such that it's like Nazareth was the producer of all the false anointing in Israel that time. When the original one came and Philip found it, confirmed that this one is original. Behind Lord's chosen church, there is an original grace that is flowing there. It's flowing there. They don't do fake prophecies. We don't do arranging miracle. Hallelujah. We don't. And that's the reason why, as much as lieth in me, I don't waste time doing healing and deliver with people watching. You will hear me say, when we close, see me. But sometimes I just do one or two for somebody to have faith. That's all. Nothing more. There are more miracles that take place in this church than you people see during service. We boast with it. And so when I prayed for one man I was at the altar and I was just being reminded because I couldn't remember it. But I saw a text. Maybe you're watching. He said, he came out and brought a medical report. I saw a report in the spirit of, and then he came out. That was Thursday. Thursday, our anointing service. And he said he had a growth in his rectum that makes it impossible for him to go to toilet. He has gone to hospital. He has done everything. The thing is even increasing and blocking the anus so he can't freely pass excreta. And I pray with him. This morning, I saw the text. He said, praise God, I am healed. Amen. He said, I am now going to toilet freely. And I called the media department. I said, if this man come to give testimony, I said, nobody will believe. Oh, I said, so make sure you see the medical report of where he went to confirm it so that anybody that want to confirm, collect it and go and check. That was when they reminded me that I saw it in a revelation, the medical report. Then I remember, yeah, he's among those that came out. Two of them came out. Praise the Lord. One had HIV, brought the report, and the other one, that thing in the anus. And I told the one with the HIV, after praying, I said, do me a favor, go and check. He has not gotten back to me yet. But who will believe? Because they have messed it up. But there is going to be a showdown. God is going to do something that will differentiate these false prophets from the original prophet. That's why we say, Lord, send anoint Elijah to pray your power down. Send a fire, also send a rain to heal the sick and raise the dead of glory. You say, Lord, I want to be another Elijah here. If you want to be another Elijah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be another Elijah, this is what he did in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. And that is what we must do. If you're going to receive that fire, after he boasted, he didn't just say, oh yeah, Father, bring fire. He did something, you know, before the fire came down. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Hey. Hallelujah. This is the altar of God. I hope you know. Not this one. No. This one is dedicated for prayer. This is the real altar. We are called the temple of God. And the altar is kept in the temple. You are the temple of God. And this is the position where signs say the altar is. And the altar is broken down. What is the evidence that the altar is broken down? When you see a Christian living in sin, the altar is broken down. You say you are a Christian and you are freely going to drink beer. Somebody told us, say, in the drink, small, small. In the drink, small, small. Just one shot. In the drink, once a while. Shot, once a while. When you see yourself living in sin and there is no conscience pricking you, the altar has been destroyed. And you need the fire back onto the altar. And the captain of our salvation, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that fire comes upon you, hey, glory be to God. It will only come when the altar is rearranged. Verse 30. And Elijah said, amen, unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The next verse. And this is how he repaired it. And this is how every altar is repaired before the fire can come down. There are some fires that come upon us. Hey, fire. That fire is of no help to you until it penetrates into the altar. So when it is burning you, fire, open your heart, let it enter, reach there. If not, after service, you are still the same. Verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles. How many are they? According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, what did he do? Hallelujah. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, dug a hole round it, and great as will contain 2 measures of seed. Which seed is that? We are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Peter says so. The seed of the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The psalmist says, so I am reading. Hallelujah. I'm reading up to verse 39. Hallelujah. And the next verse. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Somebody shout water. Shout water. And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I am reading. And he said, do it the second time. The first time was a justification. You must go through sanctification before the fire will come down. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. The 3 works of grace. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, brethren, the fire will come at the evening time. The fire will come at the evening time. At evening time there shall be light. That is the end time revival. It's the evening time of God's program. There has to be a restoration ministry. This is the product of this church you belong to. God is rearranging his people again for the final rain that will fall. It is called the latter rain. It is the evening light. It is the home-going revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reading that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. And that I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. What happened? Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That these false prophets and churches, ministers everywhere may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned the heart of all the backsliders back again to you. What happened? What happened? What happened? Then the fire of the Lord fell. Somebody get ready for this fire. And consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And verse 39. Very soon, the people will see it. And they will fall in their faces. Even as those people said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Very soon, people will realize why you have decided to serve God the way you have been serving. In the midst of all this confusion, praise the Lord. When he said you should present yourself a living sacrifice, you are that wood that needed that fire. You are that wood. You are that wood that needed that fire to come. Oh, glory be to God. What cleanses us, first and foremost, is the word of God. He said, John 15 verse 3 says something. John chapter 15 verse 3. He said, hallelujah. Okay, it's like they can't screen John. They cannot screen. Maybe fire is catching somebody on the computer. May that fire catch all of you in that control room. Now you are clean. Through what? Through what? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen, you are not clean by going to the mountain. You are not clean by fasting. You are not clean by prayer. Fasting will work only after you are clean. What cleans you is what? The word. It's the word. How can you say you're a Christian and you don't know the word? You don't know what is expected of us from God. For every situation. For every situation, there is the word of God. For every situation in your life, there is the word of God. Personally, and all those personal staff, my peer, everybody, you know, once you come to me for prayer and you give me the least impression I catch that you're looking up to me for your healing, I don't pray for you. Because I know I'm wasting my time. You don't even know why you are coming to me for prayer. Since you know me, have I advertised myself? Do I have power to heal anybody? That is why people don't disturb me. They leave me. They go to Sydney. They go to Chinedu. They go to all those pastors. Because they know when they call me, what I will tell them, they know they like them. That's why they don't like me. Then they sit down here, they hate me. Even as I talk now, they are saying with them, they say prophet, let prophet come now. They don't know what the true prophet is. It's true. You are listening to me now in United Kingdom. You are a pastor. You're a pastor, you called me from United Kingdom. I know you very well. Allow me to use the example. I don't call your name, so no talk, say I exposed you. Because you called me yesterday, very depressed, that somebody, a sister in your church, called you and said she had a dream. That she was running from up and down, going from place to place, going from place to place, going from place to place, naked like that, naked. And that when she woke up, that it means there is no, that she has no cover. And so that is, so is that he's worried. That he has no cover. Please pray for me. Then I say, I should pray for you. I said, so what should be the prayer point now? Tell me the prayer point. I pray for me. I say, I will pray for you now. I say, give me the prayer point. What should I tell God for you? I need wisdom. I say, wisdom to give her cover. I had to say it. They beat that type of statement, that type of faith, from all these motivational speakers. Who told you that your cover is in a church? Who told you your pastor is your cover? If that person, call the person, if he says, I have no cover, tell him it simply means you are not under the blood of Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. The devil is using that woman to discourage the pastor. That type of person cannot call me and speak like that. Therefore, you are leaving Brother Assembly. I will answer you. It's true. If Brother Assembly is your cover, is a cover, then you are not under cover. You better go. That's what I will tell the person. And they don't like that type of response. You are wasting your time with such a person. What have you been preaching to them? Did I preach Brother Assembly to you, or I preached the cross of Jesus to you? And I have said it. If you are in this church and you don't get what you are looking for, and you still remain here, now village people, they worry you. They tie you here. Get out of this place and go to where you will get what you are looking for. But if you are looking for what you are looking for, you find it here. Stay here. He that tendeth to the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Join us together and let's build this place and make sure that we reap the benefit of the grace in this place. Let nobody tell you if you leave any church, you will die. There are people that are inside that church, then they die. Let nobody deceive you. It's wrong. That is wrong. Very, very wrong. But get yourself washed. Get yourself washed. Except a man be born of water and the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. The water there is the water of the word. And the spirit there is the Holy Ghost that comes. Oh, glory be to God. Remember that while you must be washed first, the sacrifice that the fire will come upon must first be washed. That is why Jesus Christ in Matthew 3 and his discussion with John had to tell him that you should baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Correct? And the reason he said it is to fulfill all righteousness because he is the sacrificial lamb. And then before a sacrifice is offered and accepted, it must be washed. And this time, we are washed with the washing of the water of the word. That is what he uses to cleanse us. Praise the Lord. The restoration of Israel and every believer in Ezekiel chapter 36, it starts from verse 24. It starts with sprinkling you with clean water. Washing you with clean water. Verse 25. What did he say? What did he say in verse 25? He said, then, after gathering you, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The cleaning is with water. It is water you wash every dirty. Soluble water is soluble that can clean any dirty. That is why I say it's not by going to any mountain. Those who promote mountain prayers, Sometimes they take it to the extreme. The idea of going to mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ was withdrawing. He was not withdrawing to go and join other people on the mountain. He was running away from people so he cannot go and join other people again there. He will withdraw alone. So that there is no distraction. They will look for him. They will not get him. These days, be sincere with yourself. Are you withdrawing for people? Even if you go alone and lock yourself in a room, you are still connected to the whole world through your Facebook and your phone. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Wait. I'll call you back. You withdraw. Now withdraw with that. If you want to be clean, study the word. Study the word. Brethren, study the word. Your faith can never rise above what you know of the word of God. And to know Jesus is more than your altar. What I'm talking to you now, you need to go and study. To know him is in the Bible. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to Bible college. I am talking about him because I studied here and I got to know him. I don't have father in the Lord. I don't have what they call mentor. I don't have. That's why it's easier for me to serve God without influence than many pastors. Because the idea of father in the Lord sometimes is taken to the extreme until whatever you do has to get approval from the man. If I had a father in the Lord, I would not change my doctrine about who William Branham is. You see? When I decided to replace and properly place that ministry, come and see. Come and see, fire for fire. And I was replying there, when did we become friends before? Now you're attacking me now. And I've always told you people something. That beware of people who only point your faults to you. When you do something good, there is no encouragement. I don't receive advice from such people. They don't encourage you. They only wait for you to make a mistake. Then they will amplify it. They are your enemies. They have been wishing that you should fail. You should make a mistake. You should do something wrong. That is why no matter how you fly in the anointing here during service and everybody is praising, everybody is being blessed with that I gifted, you will never see them coming to you, some of them. There are many that will call you and encourage you, brother, we are praying for you. Continue in that grace. Oh my, today is something else. They will wait. The day you make one small mistake, I have said it. To me, I consider them my enemies. They will tell you that you only like to hear from people who like to tell you what you like to hear. Before uncle, you should tell me only what I want to hear. Don't tell me what I don't want to hear. How can you abuse me? Say I like to hear you abuse me. Are they crazy? If you want to correct me, there is the language of correction in love. And I will reason with you. Not to slam me with my error or my mistake and say you are correcting me. We know it. If you want to correct me since this ministry started, come and show me in the Bible. If you don't show me in the Bible, you are on your own. That is why I am where I am today. The confidence I have is I know where I am standing. This is Bible. If you tell me, somebody called me from UK yesterday again. In the office, they are arguing about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Amen. And I said, I don't have answer of my own. Let's read it in the Bible. We saw it in the Bible. Whatever else you are saying in argument is your idea about the Sabbath. But this is what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And don't tell me you are a Christian because you occupy any position in this church. I know better than that. I am watching your fruit. I know how to identify a Christian. And there are people that are in this church because of me. Amen. And when I have problem with them, they stop coming to church. I am their God. If I don't come to church, they will say, I better do it online. I'll stay online. I will not come to church. Amen. And you know, God will judge you because I never presented myself to you. Hey, let me finish this message now. Praise the Lord. Just give me a few minutes more. Just give me a few minutes more. Praise the Lord. And that is the purpose of this consecration period. The sacrifice must be washed first to fulfill all righteousness. That is why the water baptism is introduced. And when you come out of that water by immersion, all your sins are remitted. Pure water. It has to be pure water. Pure water. Hebrews 10, 22 to 23 talks about our bodies washed with pure water. Pure water. Hallelujah. Pure, pure, pure. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled for an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Not the pure water that the certain naira for outside do. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Hallelujah. That promised. Always remember in Hebrews chapter 12, amen, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, 15, 16. Follow peace with all men and what? Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you are living a filthy life and the angels of God are still around you, I am telling you, those angels that you say they are angels, they are not angels, they are demons. You stand up from a hotel room with a prostitute, or you are even inside that room with a prostitute, and a vision break forth. Hey! And you say that is God without holiness. Without holiness. You can't see God. If you are seeing God around you in a filthy lifestyle, it is another God you are seeing. Hey, but he's performing miracle signs and wonders. God can use demons too to fulfill his purpose. Did you hear me? You? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Tap him now. Tap him. Did you hear what I said now? Did you hear what I said now?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? The last statement I made. You need fire. Sit down, you need fire. Say you need fire. Tell your neighbor you need fire. Tell your neighbor you need fire. Let's read on, let's read on. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. You can fall, you can fail. You can fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness sprinkling up among you, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, let there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meal sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Without holiness, you can't see God. That is why we are waiting this period. Because Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. They are the ones that will see God. But they shall see God. Purity of heart. Heart, the altar of God. Because Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and verse 10, talk about the deceitfulness of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. But we human beings, now your face with a look. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. That is why in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Protect it. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Because Matthew 12, 33, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you read it up to verse 35. And so we are to understand why the psalmist David, it is believed, gave that Psalm 51. And if you read it, this is the type of prayer a backsliding Christian should pray from verse 1. What did he say? He says, what did he say? I'm reading it now, verse 1. What did he say? We are going to start to read now. Have mercy upon me, O God. That is the prayer. According to thy loving kindnesses, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sins, my transgressions. Wash me. This is the prayer a backsliding Christian should pray in this hour. This is the cleansing prayer. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It is believed that that was when he killed a woman's husband and married the woman. Pregnanted herself. See the horrible sin that can take place when the altar is broken. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Forever, oh David, can you kill person and collect his wife? Anytime you see the wife, you remember who you killed. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, because the word of God says you must not kill, must not commit murder. If you kill, you have sinned against God. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I'm a human being. I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desired truth in the inward part and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Because evidence that you're a child of God, you see his bones are broken. No peace. You live, the reason he does that so that you will come back and pray this prayer and be restored to God. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of our salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Let that be your prayer, somebody, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The purpose he releases that fire, the captain of our salvation, is to do four things. Number one, that fire you receive chases away the enemy. That's what I mentioned the other time during our consecration. I want to repeat it for those who didn't hear me. There is a fire you receive that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, believers are carriers of fire. I repeat, amen. See, there is the mark that was given to Cain, as our Sunday school teacher taught today, so that any man that sees him will run away. Abby, we also have the mark of Christ. Hallelujah. It is a fire that comes upon us. When the enemy sees that fire, he moves away from you. If the enemy successfully comes around you and defeats you, it is evidence there is no fire around you. Somebody see the need to have that fire. If you have that fire, this sign shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah. In my name they shall cast out devils. He said they will take up serpent. It will not hurt them. Why? If you pick up that serpent, there is something that, a fire that will catch that serpent. If you match a chair, there is a fire that will destroy that poison. If you are sleeping, there is a fire that covers you. That fire, when witches and wizards come, they enter that room, they see a fire, they stay back. That is the fire somebody should receive. Why are you sleeping? And they are coming to choke you. If you are having that experience where they want to kill you for sleep, I nearly died. I nearly died. Where was the fire that they are able to come and even touch you? Touch not my anointed. It's not by mouth. There's a fire around us. Hallelujah. There are some of you that you know that when you're walking in the street, some people will just change direction when they see you coming. There's a fire they saw around you. Hallelujah. There's a fire. That is the fire we are getting prepared to receive. Every Christian, you must let that fire come back. You receive it when you receive Christ. That fire departed. It is because the altar was broken. Get it back. How can some a witch? Which power are you using? Which power? It is the same fire. The second purpose of the fire, it chases away sin. It chases away sin. As it chases away witches and wizards, if you have that fire, every sin, there is a demon behind it. If you have that fire and the fornication spirit is coming to you, that fire will chase it away. That fire will chase hatred away. That fire will chase jealousy away. That fire will chase gossip away. It will chase envy away. That fire will chase all manner of carnality, idolatry, any demon that projects that weakness in you, including the spirit of alcohol, including the spirit that make you beat your wife, including the spirit that make you insult your husband. They're all demons. You are doing it because you don't have a fire that will chase it away. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Chase that nonsense away. Get that fire, somebody. Get it, get it, get it. Get it, get it, get it. You know the meaning of fire? Why does he use fire? Anything fire deals with, it annihilates it totally. You will not see it again. Fire destroys completely. Destroys completely. It will turn firewood to ashes. Oh, glory be to God. If a man be in Christ, and you have received that fire, you become a new creator. Old lifestyle pass away by that fire. That fire consumes and destroys that nonsense out of you. That fire keeps you. Number three, keeps you alert. It is the fire that keeps you alert. The evidence that you are not alert, you are weak, is that you are not able to pray. When a danger is coming, there is something that wakes you up. Hallelujah. And if you will come with an anger, you will find yourself, those who speak in genuine tongue, they will wake up and the fire will ignite. And you will see, you begin to speak in tongue. Hallelujah. Those who know the authority, have authority, they will jump up. Any demon that is trying to enter this room, Holy Ghost fire, I bind you, I chase you, they will speak with authority. That is why we are untouchable. We are untouchable. People that have that fire, prayer is not a task for them. Do you know why? Because if you don't pray, that fire will keep you awake throughout. Throughout, you will not rest. You will love to pray. You will love to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That fire also prepares me for the master's use. Isaiah needed a fire to touch his tongue when he cried, I am a man of unclean lips. I've spoken lies with this mouth. I have drank alcohol with this mouth. I kiss woman where I no marry. I drink kind. I have gossiped. I have done nonsense, the worst. I have used this mouth to sing worldly song. I have used this same mouth to abuse people. You see? It is not what enters the body, he said, that defile, but it is out of the abundance of the heart. It proceeds from the heart before we see it physical. When you receive that fire, it was there. After the fire touched his mouth, then the ministry began. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Isaiah is now qualified. What did he say? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If the Lord needs somebody, here am I. You shall receive fire after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That power is overcoming fire. The overcoming fire. They were waiting in the upper room. As we are waiting now, suddenly, and something came in. Something came upon them. Something came upon them. Something came upon them. You want that thing, stand up now. You want that same fire, stand up. Suddenly, something happened. Suddenly, that fire came upon them. And the whole city looked at them and said, what meaneth this? Somebody after this program say, fire is going to come upon you. Everybody will say, is this the person I used to know? Is this Levinus? Is this Emeka? Is this Ikiru? Is this Grace? This is not the person I used to know before. What meaneth this? The God that answered by fire. Your hand. The God that answered by fire.
Let me be my God.
Your hand. If you mean it, Saying, let him be my God. If you mean it, some of you, even here now, some of you, as you will go in your private prayer, let it sound, let it be your prayer point. Oh God of Elijah, you are the God that answered by fire. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fire for this evening, give it to me. Give it to me. The darkness is too much in Christianity now. I need the evening fire. They are quenching it, but at evening time there shall be a light. In the midst of darkness there will be a light. So you now understand why I say you should clap your hands. Don't look at your neighbor. It's between you and God. If I've said anything that you catch, even now, it's a prayer. If you say, let it be my God, you're actually saying, Jesus, take over my life. That is the meaning. That is the meaning. The God that answered by fire.
You will be my God.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Nice.